Welcome to the Can't Stop Endurance Podcast. I am Coach Kevin Leathers, and this is episode 73, Optimizing Training Plans. In this business, we work with a lot of different runners, a lot of different levels of ability, a lot of different talent levels, a lot of different mindsets, with a wide variety of goals and expectations. So it's really important that over time we learn to really individualize and personalize a running training plan. And that's what we're going to dig into a little bit today. I want to kind of talk through the process, how I do it, what I'm looking for, what I'm trying to impart. Maybe that will help spur some ideas in your head about your training and where you sit on the spectrum of running abilities, and maybe some things you can do differently to help you achieve your goals. Big picture, one size does not fit all. And I think, you know, the history of run coaching, back when I started, there weren't a lot of running and endurance coaches. There were a handful. And where I lived, there weren't, you could count them on one hand, the running coaches. And then it started to gain popularity, and social media came in, and the RRCA started holding weekend training classes around the country and certified a lot of runners who were willing to pay the fee and go through the two-day training class and become certified running coaches. Certainly helped grow the sport, but you had a lot of coaches who were literally brand new runners, maybe had been running for a while and wanted to get into coaching. Great. Running ability really has nothing to do with your ability to coach. But it flooded the market. And you know, going back further than that, we had to get our training information out of books and out of magazines. Runner's World and Running Times were super popular because you could see what kind of workouts runners were doing. Or you shared information. That's how I first started coaching, was a runner would ask me, oh, you've done a marathon. How did you train for it? And I would get out a yellow legal pad and write out the training plan and share it with them. And then it became, I'd send it by email. And so it was a lot of information sharing, because none of us invented any of this. We just took it and fine-tuned it and made it work, and then started to share it. And then with the internet came information overload. And then with up to today, where we have AI content, you might be, I know I follow some running coaching-ish things on social media that are completely AI generated, and you can go in and test it yourself. And that's okay, but it's as generic as it gets. And now we're getting back to that one size fits all. And that's really not true. You can, you know, you could go download a 16-week training plan to your best half marathon off of the internet, put it on your refrigerator, and follow it. Great, that works for a lot of runners. But runners, we really don't know what we don't know, especially in the beginning. And it's as especially as we try to improve and move through the process, there's just so many mistakes and trapdoors and potholes to step in, to try to learn not to do those again. So many of those mistakes can be minimized and sometimes avoided completely with a good, experienced coach. And that's what I really try to do, is keep the dumb runner checklist to a minimum. If you could go back in the podcast, and we've done several episodes on dumb runner, I could check the entire list. I've made all the mistakes, and some of them I made more than once. And I'm trying to keep my runners from doing that. And then we come up with this other issue, the issue of bad advice. This comes in the form of you think you know what to do. You think you know what is best. You're going to do what that really fast runner does in your town, or that the fastest runner in your training group, let's do what they do. Or heaven forbid, you do what you see that professional runner on Instagram doing. Ooh, man, that's a big trapdoor. Or you're just kind of going along with the flow and doing what your training group does. That's fine. And then there's the know nothing, know it all, right? We all know those who works next to you in your office or is a relative or a neighbor or a friend or that know nothing, know it all in your running group who's done a couple of races and thinks they have all the answers. The minute somebody says, oh, this is the best shoe, this is what you should get, or this is exactly what you should use for fueling, that's when you know you should step back and consider the source. Because one size does not fit all. What's best for me might be worst for you. And then we have the runners who are just lucky. What they're doing is working. They don't really know why. Maybe they don't care why. I do this and it works. But how long can that last? Eventually, they're going to get injured, run against a roadblock, regress, whatever those things are. And they need to try something different. So what does this mean for a runner? Well, it just means you should really consider your sources. You should seek sound advice from experienced experts. If I'm buying something new for my bicycle, I might ask my training buddies, well, what do you use? Why do you use those wheels, et cetera? But when I need to get to the nitty gritty, I'm going to my bike expert or my cardiologist or my dentist, or that's where I'm getting my advice, or my physical therapist. Why is this so important? Because it's your running. It's your running goals. It's your outlet. It's your therapy, whatever it is. And it doesn't have to be dreadful. Runners do not have to get injured. Let me say that again. Training for running goals does not require that you get injured. And if you are getting injured every time you attempt to do this, you're doing something wrong. And you should seek out some experienced advice. Then, hopefully, you learn to avoid many of the pitfalls and the trapdoors and that injury you used to get all the time. You figure out how to avoid it. And then your goal becomes, I want to be a lifelong runner. How do I do that? I have to do as many things right as I can. So that brings us, brings me back around to, well, how do you optimize a training plan for all these different runners? My coaching's very personalized. I literally sit down each month and write out the training plan for each runner. I don't have a cookie cutter list of workouts on an app that I just drag and drop. Works fine for some people. I like the old school. I need to write it out and see where it's going and look a month ahead and 2 months ahead to see where I want to be so I know what we need to do now. So I'm going to tailor that plan to meet the needs, that's physical and mental, the fitness level, the experience level, the durability, the ability to avoid injury and overuse issues, and the mindset, the focus, the grit of each individual runner. You know, I'm writing training plans for several runners going to Boston. They're all doing the exact same race. And the bigger picture progression of their plans are the same. But when you really dial in, they're tweaked for each runner. Some runners thrive off of really hard, grinding tempo runs. Others need intervals. Others need pace runs or a combination of all of those things. So you really have to dial it in. So on any given day or week, 1 minute I can be writing a training plan or answering an email or a text from a runner getting prepared to go run a 100-mile trail run. And then in the next minute, I'm doing the same with a runner trying to build up to a half marathon for the first time ever, or maybe to PR their half marathon, where for that runner, every run might be their longest run ever. So I just got off the phone with a runner who's doing a 50-mile training weekend, and then I'm going to this runner who I'm trying to talk them through how this 8 or 9 mile run is not impossible, that they're capable of doing it. And then the next message is from that newbie runner wanting advice on cross training. what is cross training? What should I do? What does it look like? How hard should, what's the effort level supposed to be? All very different mindsets and very different strategies, but if we peel it all away, the basics remain the same. They're all being told the same thing, whatever the topic, just in different ways to suit their personal needs and their personal goals. The mindset of that runner trying to get ready for a 100 miler really is the same mindset of the runner trying to run their first half marathon. Just the math is different. I could have a fueling talk with those same three runners on the same day. The fueling and nutrition fundamentals are the same, but the fueling needs, the strategy, the quantities, the recipe will differ greatly. I really have to try to understand what each athlete needs. How do I know? How do I know what buttons to push with each runner? Well, there's experience. There's decades of my own experience. There's decades of anecdotal evidence of the thousands of runners I've coached and just 40 years in the endurance community doing this thing. And this is why you weigh all of that against a cookie cutter plan off of the internet, and that might not be the best path for you. So let's look at each level of runner and how I'm going to approach it. And I'm going to try to break this down with those three different types of runners. Let's start with the beginner. This is that newbie runner. We were all a beginner at one point. Or it might be that runner who is returning to running after a long layoff, whether that layoff is 6 months or 6 years, whatever it is. Their plan, and I tell them this up front, your plan is going to look very boring for a while, maybe a month, maybe 6 weeks, maybe 8 weeks, depending upon the individual. They have to be prepared for very patient progressions. If you're coming off the couch, we're just trying to get around the block at first, and it might be walking fast at first, because we really have to prove durability. Can you get through this very basic plan for a week, for 2 weeks, for a month consistently without getting hurt? Can you do it easy enough to keep showing up day after day? There'll be nothing fancy. There's nothing flashy. We won't get to talk about intervals or speed work or tempo runs or threshold. Any of that is just, can you check the box each day for the first month or the first 8 weeks? Basics: run, recover from the run, hydrate, fuel, show up and do it again tomorrow. And once they see that running doesn't have to be dreadful, that they can, if you run easy enough and the proper duration today, you can get up and do it again tomorrow. It's when you overdo it, go too far, go too fast, that things become an issue. It would be a very low risk training plan and approach. Our only goal is consistency. Really don't have any pace targets. I don't have any distance targets. Just, can you show up and get this month done, not perfectly, but reasonably consistent? I want to do enough work to build fitness and to build that aerobic base, but not too much where it leads to overuse injuries and illness and those types of things. So basic. That beginner runner, let's talk about what might be their key learning skills that I'm trying to teach. Number one is self-awareness. What is easy? What is a proper perceived exertion level for easy? Learning to listen to your breathing, you'll know if you're going too fast today based on your respiration and your breathing rate and your heart rate. First, we want to learn what easy means. Can you keep it under control and easy enough so you can keep doing this. So being self-aware and being aware of your form. Do you hear your feet slapping the ground? Are you bent over at the waist? Do you have your shoulders down and relaxed? Give them a few maybe form cues, form checklists that gives them something else to worry about. Not worry about, something else to focus on. Self-awareness. And then we want to start to identify weak links. I want that runner to learn, what are your hot spots? But we started running, and the first thing I noticed, boy, I had this pain on the outside of my knee. Okay, that's probably your IT band. Let's start addressing that. Or runner's knee, or my foot hurts. It's plantar fasciitis, those types of things. Let's learn our weak links, and then let's figure out how to deal with the issue before it becomes serious. We're learning to listen and react, and then rehab becomes prehab, and we can eventually avoid issues with our weak links. I also want them to learn that although it shouldn't be dreadful, not all of your runs are going to be good. That's totally normal. Don't be disappointed about the lack of a runner's high at first or on a regular basis. You know, on any given week, if I run five times, three of those might be, fine, got it done, check the box. But boy, the day when you nail it and it feels great, makes it all worth it. I also want them to learn that you cannot reevaluate your fitness level on a daily basis. Right? Sound familiar? Oh, did I get fat and overweight and slow overnight? No, you didn't. You can't reevaluate your fitness on a daily basis based on what your algorithmically controlled smartwatch is telling you. Learn to be self-aware so you can evaluate your fitness on the long term. I also want them to learn the basics of hydration. One of the first things we have to learn is how much water you really need to be drinking. And then the basics of fueling. We have to fuel to exercise and fuel to recover. Nothing detailed, just basics. And then I want them to learn mindset goals. Again, this is a never-ending process, but in the beginning, let's learn to celebrate the new habits, whatever it is. You got around the block. You were able to complete that 3-mile run without walking today. Fantastic. Well, it was slow. I don't care I honestly don't care what the pace was. If you were able to finish that distance that was assigned without having to walk, if that was the goal, you won today. And try to teach them to turn that negative ego self-talk into positive self-talk as much as we can. That's a hard battle. And I also want them to develop and embrace the get out the door mentality. I know you're stuck on your phone, or you're checking your email, or you're reading the paper, or you're playing with the dog, or you're lying in bed. You have to learn. The hardest part many times is just to get up, get your running shoes on, and step out the door. Just get going. Just get going down the road, and you'll be fine. So, important terminology for those beginners: consistency, perceived exertion, respiration, cadence, hydration, fueling. It's quite the list there, vocabulary list. So now let's click over to the intermediate runners, that next level. This is that runner. We get a lot of runners seeking coaches at this level. They've been doing it their way or a certain way or just whatever they felt like doing for a long time. And now they're ready to raise the stakes a little bit. They've set some racing goals. They'd like to run their first 5K or race their first half marathon or set a PR, one of those things. Ready to add some more advanced workouts and learn some more about becoming a smart runner. This plan is now going to start including some small doses of intensity. We're going to very gradually integrate some anaerobic strength work. That will always start with hill repeats and they will be very mild hill repeats just to let your body adapt to the workload. And then after that, we might start adding some intervals, basic intervals, and just kind of faster running, some fast finish runs. Eventually, we'll introduce the tempo miles. And all of this will be in very small doses. This is another trap door. You want to start going to do track work every week, and you overdo it. You have to ease into this. So small doses, see how the body reacts, see how quickly you recover, and then you stay at that level for a little while. Now your body's adapted. Now you can add a little more, something a little different. Patient progress is the goal. It's so easy at this area to get greedy. Oh, I did. I PR'd my 5K. Now I want to add intervals. So I should double the number of. Oh, don't do it. Don't get greedy. Now here's a real trap door. When we start running and we get consistent, and we start racing, boy, success can come quickly if we do it properly. We set a PR. All right, I want to set another PR. And then every time we race for a little bit might be a PR. All of that low-hanging fruit is very deceiving and sets us up for a big disappointment if we don't realize that eventually the low-hanging fruit is gone and we have to now do more and be smarter and more careful as we get more aggressive to get the fruit that's a little harder to reach. We do a little bit of work, all the low-hanging fruit makes us feel good, and we double down, big trapdoor, and we never get the rest of those PRs. We will, at this intermediate level, we'll start to introduce some basic benchmarks to track progress. My favorite is if they're not a regular racer, we'll do time trials. And even we do this a lot even when we're with experienced racers, but we haven't, like we're getting ready for 5K season and we haven't raced a 5K in months. Well, we might do a series of 1 and/or 2 mile time trials just to get our game face on, get reacquainted with the trauma of the later stages of a race, and a benchmark. Find out where we are, and we can, using that number, we can extrapolate what our goal should be for that first 5K of the season. Also, just regular racing. If somebody has racing goals down the road, especially somebody, we're coming into summer, and they've got a fall half marathon or marathon goal, well, let's race 5Ks and 10Ks all summer. Once a month, once every 5 or 6 weeks, just to keep a little bit of edge and to track our fitness. We'll also, another form of benchmark is to repeat workouts in some type of sequence. For instance, we might do a certain set of hill repeats or a certain tempo run, and then we'll come back to that exact same workout 4, 5, or 6 weeks later. While it's still fresh in your mind, you remember how much it took for you to get through that workout. You might remember where the workout got hard. So this time, you're prepared. Oh, I remember that, boy, at the 2 mile mark of that tempo run, as I was coming around that corner, that's where I really got in my head. And this time, I'm going to be prepared for that moment. I'm going to be prepared for the battle and get over that hump. So we repeat some workouts to track that physical and mental progress. We revisit the discomfort and hopefully work through it a bit better each time. If you really want to repeat a workout that's just basic, do like a 1 mile challenge and do it for 2 months and go out and after a proper warm up, run a mile as fast as you can and then come back 3 weeks later and do it again and then 3 more weeks, do it again. Your time will improve, your fitness will improve, and your mindset will certainly improve. So at this intermediate level, the key learning skills, now we're going to up the ante a little bit and maybe start to really track heart rate at various training zones. We might really start to work on cadence. What is your average cadence? Now let's see if we can tweak that a little bit and get it up three, four, five, six steps per minute. Then we're going to start digging in more to fueling, and this will be through trial and error. Let's really start to dial in how we fuel for shorter intense workouts and longer duration workouts. The short-term goals, we've got this big race out there, 6 or 8 or 16 weeks away. Okay, in the short term, we need something to keep up the intensity and the focus. So it might be some type of progression, like the 1 mile challenge, the 2 mile time trial, that tempo run that you repeat every 4 or 5 weeks to keep you moving safely through the training cycle and to either keep up the intensity if our race is shorter or keep up the long run duration if we're training for a longer race. I also want them to learn to embrace the long-term roadmap. We've talked about this a lot, especially in the last few episodes. You've got a goal out there that's a year away. Great. We're going to start today down that roadmap. Forget about that. I always talk about, you know, let's pull the curtain across the road down there at that goal, and let's focus on these next 6 weeks, because we can't do what we want to do in 3 months if we can't do what we need to do this month. So long-term roadmap. The important terms we're going to learn at this stage is tempo, lactate threshold, what does speed work really mean, what's the goal of speed work, how should it be done, progressions. You'll start to really see those patterns that are in a training cycle. And then not just nutrition, but nutrient timing, how your nutrition and your caloric intake needs to follow your energy output. Have intense workout or a long duration workout, your fueling better mirror that. And then mindset goals at this intermediate level, I really see it as a matter of really trying to help them get more comfortable being uncomfortable. And we do that. We start doing that in very small doses. Can you get settle into the discomfort of a 1 mile time trial? Great. If you can do that, then we can start to work towards settling into the discomfort of a 2 mile time trial and then a 5K and so on. But we might even come all the way back, and we're going to learn to get into that through 1 minute intervals where you go 1 minute at race pace, 1 minute easy, and you do that 8 or 10 times. So it's very small doses, doesn't take a big chunk out of you physically or mentally, but you're learning to lean into the discomfort a little bit. And then I really want you at this point to, as much as possible, seek gratitude for the small victories. On that day you feel terrible, ugh. Now you're not hurt or sick, you just, ugh. You know how you feel. Okay, the win today is going to be just get out the door. Okay, promise yourself you're going to go at least a mile or 2 miles and then see what happens. You get home and it's almost always, boy, I'm glad I did that. It's always worth it. It's always better getting it done rather than blowing it off. And then I want you to quiet the ego, that inner self-talk, that fear of missing out, the trying to keep up with the Joneses. You have to learn to ignore that static and focus on you. Quiet your ego. And this leads us into the final level we're going to talk about, which is the advanced athletes, those runners who are, now I'm not talking about world-class type runners, we're not going to deal with them, but those runners who are competitive in your local race, or your age group competitive. Maybe you're competitive in the master's division, or you're somebody in your particular age group who is capable of qualifying for Boston. So, or maybe you're just striving for peak performance. That's that advanced runner. Now we're going to get into more structured workouts and more structured pacing targets, fueling targets, etc. The key learning skills at this level are we're going to dial in your fueling plan to an exact recipe before, during, and after your workouts, ongoing and in your races. We're going to sharpen your inner pace clock as sharp as we can get it, so you can tell the difference between 4 mile pace and 5 mile race pace without really looking at your watch. And we're going to become a pace control expert. And it doesn't necessarily mean running really fast. It means running the pace you're assigned to run, controlling your pace. And we're going to race a lot to learn patience, to learn racing strategy, to learn how to manage the discomfort, to identify. A lot of this happens after the race. Look back. Where did the race get hard? Where did your thought process go? And how did you deal with it? So we can fine tune it and sharpen that skill for the next time. We're going to teach and preach and hopefully embrace the value of staying healthy at any level, intermediate, beginner, or this advanced. If we can stay healthy and avoid injury over a long period of time, it's amazing what you can do without a lot of advanced crazy training, just by staying healthy. This might go against common sense, but no getting greedy. We can't get you, you take all, at this level, typically all the low-hanging fruit is gone. And we're trying to pick up, in a short race, we're trying to pick up 5 or 10 or 15 seconds in the race. In a half marathon, we're trying to pick up a few minutes, and in the marathon, it might just be a few minutes here and there. There's no more 15-minute PRs like there were when we were beginners. And then, again, this will sound familiar, quiet the ego, quiet the static, quiet all the internal and external distractions, and focus on you and your running and your attitude, because that's all you can control. Which hopefully leads to the mindset goals at this level, which is trust the process. If I'm your coach, trust me, trust this plan I've laid out. And then on race day, trust yourself. We've done all the work, all the data says you should run this pace and finish in this time window, and then you go execute it. Do the work, trust the strategy, and at this level, you have to be very comfortable and confident and almost revel in the ability to suffer. You're going to suffer in training. You're going to suffer in races. And you're going to learn that that's the price of admission to reach those goals. So what do you notice about all of this? That we're all the same. In varying degrees. Now, the math is different, right? The paces, the speeds, the mileage. But we should all be seeking consistency, a good mindset, managing our ego, proper recovery between runs, fueling, hydration, and then to whatever degree you are, getting comfortable being uncomfortable. Running smart, be patient, listen to your body. All of those things. So when I'm writing plans for all of these different runners, you see, the basics are the same. There's no secrets. There's no magic. It really boils down to those things that are the same for every runner. Really boils down to paying attention to your small, daily, boring habits. So as a running coach, I can lay out the best plan in the world. The best plan that's worked over and over. If you follow this and we stay healthy, you will achieve your goals. But if you can't dial in the discipline to tend to your small, daily, boring habits, which are doing your prehab, your mobility, your strength work, whatever that is to stay healthy, drinking the proper amount of water, getting enough protein, fueling with carbs for your workouts, getting enough sleep, sweets and processed food and alcohol in moderation, all those things, if you can't do that, you're probably going to have a hard time getting through that amazing training plan that your coach wrote for you. So that is it for today. That's a little insight into how we approach working with a variety of different runners and mindsets and abilities. I would love to hear about your goals, maybe some of your mindset or key learning skills that you've had success with or that you might need help with. You can reach out with comments, stories, questions. You can find me by email at coach@cantstopendurance.com. You can find us on Facebook and on Instagram as Can't Stop Endurance. And as always here on the podcast, this is sponsored by me. That's it. All we ask is that you go leave us a rating so we get a little more exposure. And then share it with your running friends. Help them spread the message. Maybe they'll know that there'll be know-nothing, know-it-all in your running group if you send them the podcast. That's it for today. As always, I am Coach Kevin Leathers. And remember, run smart, train hard, and race fast.